So Mike Tyson kind of fits into everything that my book is about. My book dropped today, Celebritocracy, Misguided Agenda of Celebrity Politics in a Postmodern Democracy. Very smarty pants title. But really, I just call it Celebritocracy. And the book in general is a book that, like, you've heard so many stories over the years of celebrity activism, and you're like, but then what happened? So this is the book that kind of tells the aftermath of all that stuff. Like, George Clooney used to always talk about Darfur, and now he doesn't anymore. Why doesn't he?
Good question.
Right. So this book is about that. Or, you know, you heard about Live Aid. It's the 35th anniversary of Live Aid. But nobody bothered to ask where that money went.
Mm-hmm.
And it was $127 million that did not go towards Ethiopian famine. It was, every dime of it was put into the military, which Meriam, the Ethiopian leader at the time, used to murder all of his people. And we paid for that. So there's a lot of stories in this book about very famous celebrity activism. There's a lot of stories in this book about very famous celebrity activism and causes, but not the aftermath. So this book is about the aftermath. Where did it go? What happened? And what happened next? So the reason why I thought the Mike Tyson thing was really interesting and kind of plays right into the concept of celebritocracy, I have a chapter in my book about why celebrities get involved in the first place. Like, why do they all have causes?
Mm-hmm.
You know, celebrities back in the day, like old Hollywood, they were apolitical. They would never come out and say, I like Trump or I hate Trump, because that would affect if people were going to their movies or not. And the studios would have fired them immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but now celebrities really feel like they're entitled to do that. So I have a whole chapter as to what that's about, why it is, why we think they're experts, why they think they're experts. And the Mike Tyson thing is a good example and kind of really drives home the point of how celebrities really protect each other. There's this whole study that I talk about in here from Harvard where they talk about, like, empathy, right? So people say, oh, well, celebrities have so many causes because they have a lot of empathy. They care about so many people.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just not true. And the Harvard study found that there's lots of definitions of empathy, and celebrity empathy is specifically about empathizing with other celebrities. So the reason why they've forgiven Mike Tyson for raping and beating Robin Givens and everything else he did, like, why have they forgiven him? Why are they allowing him to continue to work? And he did something on Broadway a couple of years ago, and why? And the reason is because celebrities empathize with each other because they know they might get in that situation themselves.
Good point.
Yeah, so they want the same treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Like Matthew Broderick, for example, you know, he was driving around Ireland a few years ago, got into a car accident. He was driving drunk and he killed a young woman and her mother. So why is he still famous? Why isn't he persona non grata? Why wasn't he canceled?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is because Hollywood would never let that happen because he was beloved and they want to make sure that if anything happens to them, they get the same treatment. So it's sort of a quid pro quo that goes on in Hollywood. And Mike Tyson's a really good example of that.
I'm launching my Legends Only League, and it's going to be so awesome with other leagues from all over, whoever, I don't care, basketball, pool, shark, all the ex-legends who want to play and still able to play and still beautiful like myself, they can come with us. They can call me. We can have anybody. Like before, I was saying, we can have Dennis Rodman go against Men of World
Dennis
Peace,
Rodman.
One-on-one.
I mean, that's another one.
Have Wayne Gretzky go against the up-and-coming young guy, one-on-one. It's for all athletes. I'm talking about anybody. Ping pong players, all legendary handball players. All
what
the
is he even talking about?
I have no idea.
Quiet. Shut up.
I haven't understood Mike Tyson since 1988.
Yeah.
So I have no idea what he's saying, but I'm never going to say anything bad about him because he can beat you to a pulp. So Mike Tyson is the greatest athlete ever.
We interviewed him when I was at one of my old stations when he was doing the Broadway thing. And I got to say, he was so nice.
Mm-hmm.
He was so respectful. He was so, like, he was just, I mean, I have to say, like, when I look back on all the celebrities and all the pop artists that used to come through there, he's probably in my top five of the people who
were the nicest people
who really were really respectful and treated us well and were so kind. And, you know, and I guess, you know, when you have that reputation, behind him, he has to really bring the extra nice when he goes on publicity tours. He has to.
So it goes Taylor Swift, Mike Tyson, and Regis.
Pretty much.
For the nicest people. So did you go to any bookstore today to see if your book's there?
No, I can't. There's no bookstores that are open.
So there's no bookstores in New York for you to go see if your book's there?
No, I mean, there's tons of bookstores in New York. I just don't know any that are open right now. I don't think bookstores have opened yet here. I think that's more phase four or whatever. I think it's only restaurants bookstores are open. If you buy something, they will bring it to the door. Mm-hmm. But you can't walk in and wander around a bookstore anymore.
Well, I never did, so I don't know how that works. I have no idea.
And it's tough because I was supposed to have all these book signings. I was supposed to get on a plane and go to some major cities around the country. All that's been canceled because of COVID. So I have to hope that people just go on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and buy my book.